This is Pastor Stuart Schneider welcoming you to a service of worship at Community Presbyterian Church in Bellefonte, Kentucky. Come, let us worship the Lord together. Our first reading is from the book of Numbers, the 11th chapter, 24 through 30. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. But they did not do so again. This is the word of the Lord. Acts 2, 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, and they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arab, we hear them telling in our own languages the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others, mocking, said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my men servants and my maid servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and manifest day. And it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. You know, I'm ashamed to say it, but when I think back to my childhood at First Presbyterian, my memories are a little fuzzy. Confused, I guess you'd say. We affirmed it with the creed every Sunday, and I recited it with the congregation, but it was quite a long time before anybody bothered to tell me why we believed in the Catholic Church when we were Presbyterians. And the whole business about the Holy Ghost creeped me out. When I was a child, I did not like ghosts, holy or otherwise. This was the 1950s. Folks went to church because that's what folks did. And I was told by my grandmother that it would do me a world of good if I would pay attention. But nobody was telling me what I should pay attention to, and what good it was going to do me if I were to pay attention. I really don't mean to be critical of people now long dead, but that was the understanding of the time. The church sort of oozed good medicine, and if you sat in the church, you'd soak it up like a sink sponge or something. The idea I took from my experiences was that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost was somewhere up there, and the only thing that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost had to do with me was to make lists of what I did and didn't do and what I thought and what I should have thought, and then give the list to Santa Claus. I was that confused. As an adult, I really mourn this. Removing God from the here and now to some mystic place outside our day-to-day lives is a tragedy. Jesus acted within the day-to-day lives of the people of his time, and he continues to do so in the world in which we live, reminding us that Jesus acted and acts within the world in which we live is the purpose of our Lenten collage. From it, we are to learn that the crown of thorns is a real thing that can hurt you. We can see the bowl and pitcher and recall that Jesus, the Son of God, knelt to wash the feet of the disciples. Most of all, we come face to face with the weight and the splinters and the full horror of the cross. Jesus did all these things in his here and now, in the world, not off someplace, in the world. The stories of the new church aren't just things that happen to people long dead in a place far away in a time turned to dust, but represent the paths of all believers as they move from the status of unschooled disciple to empowered apostles, able to go about their master's work. First, we mouth the words of a creed that is meaningless to us, for we have no understanding. Then we begin to gain understanding from the stories of the disciples recounted by our teachers. Joy was one of my teachers. The next step, however much you apply yourself to understanding, the next step is beyond human ability. It must be given. It can't be earned. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit poured out upon the disciples. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Pentecost is an integral part of Easter. Indeed, Easter is not complete until the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. That might be easier to understand if we look at the Jewish celebrations of Pesach, the Passover, and Shavuot, or Pentecost. Our celebration of the Easter service season has deep roots in Judaism. Pesach, the Passover, is the Jewish celebration of the liberation of the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt. Easter celebrates our liberation from the slavery of sin by the redeeming death and resurrection of our Savior. Shavuot celebrates the giving of Torah, the law of the Jews. It falls 50 days after Pesach and is thus called Pentecost, which means 50th day. When Luke tells us in our passage, when the day of Pentecost has come, he is speaking of Shavuot. The Jews see the same intimate connection between Pesach and Shavuot as I'm urging us to see between Easter and Pentecost. Liberation from slavery in Egypt was not complete until the gift of the law. Liberation from sin is not complete until the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. Liberation from slavery in Egypt was not complete until the law was given to the Jews. Liberation from sin for Christians is not complete until the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you'll accept a little mild criticism, I think the Jews do a better job of living out that connection. Orthodox Jews count the Omer, O-M-E-R, count the Omer, between Pesach and Shavuot. And Omer is actually a unit of weight, but it also means the number of days between those two events, Passover and Pentecost. They count each day. They give a blessing and say, for instance, today is 16 days, which is 2 weeks and 2 days of the Omer, thus reminding themselves daily that their release from slavery was not complete until they received God's law. That's vitally important, church. The children of Israel leaving the slavery of Egypt were just a confused mass of people following their leader, Moses. Not unlike the Lions Club, but with livestock. They had no identity. They had no God calling. They were a mob out in the desert. They rebelled. They complained. They had mutinies. They drove Moses half nuts. It was the gift of Torah, God's law, that organized this mob into a God-led people, a people with a purpose. For that reason, Pesach and Shavuot have to remain connected. This is 16 days, that is 2 weeks and 2 days of the Omer. For that reason, Pesach without Shavuot is unthinkable. You can't have liberation without the law. But still, the story is not yet complete. There was something yet to come. Joshua became alarmed that two men in the camp were prophesying and begged Moses to make them stop. Moses is the leader. We can't have more than one leader. Make him stop. Moses replied, though, "Would that all the Lord's people were prophets and the Lord would put his spirit on them." Something is yet to come. Torah has been given. A covenant between God and his people has been made. Still, something is yet to come. In the Gospel of John, we read, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." This is what Moses wished for. The Spirit of the Lord within the hearts of all believers. The thing yet to come was the indwelling Holy Spirit. Not an alien thing out there somewhere beyond the stars, but God with us, present within the soul of a believer. This is critical, church. As a child at First Presbyterian, I saw myself in relation to Sam Curry in just the way the children of Israel saw themselves in relation to Moses. I was to sit quietly in the pew and listen to what Sam Curry said from the pulpit. He would tell me what I needed to know. I would have been horrified to hear anything about the Holy Ghost dwelling within me. As I said, as a child, I did not like ghosts, indwelling or not. I'm older now. I believe we are charged to go out in the day-to-day world and speak the gospel as the Spirit grants us power to do. Resurrection Sunday without Pentecost is as unthinkable as Pesach without Shavuot. The liberation of the children of Israel wasn't complete until they received Torah and became a God-led people. Our redemption from the slavery of sin is not complete until we have received the Holy Spirit. Until then, we're just a mob wandering in the wilderness like the children of Israel without God's law. Our redemption is not complete until we receive the Holy Spirit, and that's what we celebrate on Pentecost. Church, I want you to hear this. If you don't remember anything else I've told you during the Easter season, I want you to remember this. If you celebrate Resurrection Sunday as the day the Lord was resurrected and Pentecost as the birthday of the church, but don't live out the connection between those two, accepting the gift of the Holy Spirit into your lives as the completion of Jesus' sacrifice, you will be like the children of Israel following Moses, complaining, mutinying, griping, wandering. If you see your role as sitting in a pew while the minister delivers speeches from the chancel, Rather than accepting the Holy Spirit into your own heart, you will wander in the wilderness until you do. Amen. Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith from the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The gift of the Holy Spirit was a game changer, from follow the leader to lead the follower. The disciples, once Jesus' students, were empowered and sent out as apostles, envoys, ambassadors, and messengers commissioned to carry God's message of a changed world. You, church, are similarly sent. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Until that time, you are to devote yourself, your words, your every action, to carrying the message through all creation. Until we meet again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God's church said,